Let's pray. Lord, bless this word and open each of our ears to hear it. And Lord, life comes through your word, and we receive that life and the seed that is planted in our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody need more forgiveness? Yeah, that's a tough one. In fact, there's these support legs on, like if you have an addiction, there's these support legs on it. And sometimes you can't just put a Band-Aid on the addiction, because the support legs of it will make the addiction come back. One of them is unforgiveness. You know? I watch the guys in here, and they get so fed up with each other that they drive each other to go back out and drink. It's like, if you could be more at peace in the love of God and in forgiveness, you could knock a support right out from under addiction. You see, God's word is insulator for you. It insulates you in love. So, I'm going to go first to Matthew 6. And the word is the way you grow. The Bible says the word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. The word is life. The word is your life. Out of the spirit flow the issues of life. But when you listen to the word, it goes down into your human spirit. It goes right inside of you. But you know what? I'm not giving you formulas. All I'm doing, I take it everybody in this room has probably received Christ at one time or another. I bet everybody has. All right? Part of the problem of being a Christian that's trapped in sin is that you don't know what you were given. You don't have a full understanding of your rich inheritance. It's huge, and you are already given it. You are already given the ability to overcome any sin. You're already given the ability to love any unlovable thing. You're already given the ability to forgive any act that is committed against you or anybody else you love. You already have all of that. That's part of your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And when you receive Christ, God deposits all that in you in seed form. It goes right in the heart here. And the rest of your Christian life is just a finding out and an unveiling. And I call that revelation, divine revelation. It's like you'll be sitting there listening to the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit enlightens something for you, and it's a aha, I see that. I can do that. That comes alive to me now. I'm going to walk in that. And then you have this better ability to walk in it. You know, that's how you actually receive Christ. You were listening to the gospel through the Word of God, and you said, aha, He died for me. I can accept that. And you receive Him, and this grace floods into you. And it's a love and a grace that floods through you. The love makes people get teary-eyed because you're getting, your sins are forgiven, you know. But at the same time, you're getting that deposit of your inheritance. Therefore, forgiving somebody is supposed to be just as easy as receiving Christ. Beating an addiction... Hey, Robert, have a seat. Beating an addiction is supposed to be just as easy as receiving Christ. Why? Because you don't beat the addiction, God does. You don't forgive people, God does. You don't make yourself receive Christ and save yourself, God does. It's all by grace. But you know what? I see guys and gals, they're in programs, they're in meetings, and they're thinking that they have to do this and this and this and this. You know? Jesus didn't come to the earth to give us rules and things to work out in the flesh. with our human knowledge. He came to the earth to give us power and grace and love. You know, it's funny because at Christmas time you have Jesus and Santa Claus, right? And Jesus comes and he doesn't keep a list and check it twice. In fact, he's tearing up your list of wrongs. You know, but Santa is works-oriented. Santa needs to know if you've been good or bad, whether you're going to get anything. That's what we teach our kids. No wonder when they grow up, they think God is heavy-handed and wants to knock them out. And, you know, people are so afraid to go get with God and get in His presence. And it's like, we got guys sitting in here, and they're afraid to come in here and get in the presence of God in teaching, in the Word of God, and in prayer, and in this atmosphere of love and acceptance. And they don't want to come and get in near God because they think God is really upset. And I'm just here to tell you, God is not mad at you at all. You know what? With God, if you know Christ, if Christ is in your heart, it's as if you've never done anything wrong at all ever before. Ever. You can wipe your slate clean every time with God. But then, He leads you into this life where you're in a sowing and reaping life. He's not there to knock you down once you show some sign of evil, or once you take one little drink or something. He's not there to knock you down. He says, son, daughter, don't do this. Don't do this because you're sowing to your own flesh and you're going to reap. If you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind, you know? That's what the Bible says. And so He leads us into this thing of sowing and reaping. He wants us to not sin because He loves us, because He knows what we're going to reap for our sin. And one of the writers in the Bible says, God says in the Bible, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. And you know what? You can have your everlasting life every day. Your everlasting life is the power and the life of God coursing through your body. And you can have it every day. Because your eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the day you receive Christ. You know, if the world knew what this package of Christ contained, they would be beating down that door to hear about it. Because it's really amazing. You know, I thank God every time I pray. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for giving me... Father, thank You for giving me Jesus. Jesus, thank You for giving me the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You that I'm Your son. Thank You that I know the Word. Thank You that You redeem my life. You know, so one of the things that we need to get rid of is the lack of love and unforgiveness, because we're sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption off of our unforgiveness. But I'm here to tell you, if God tells you to do something in the Word, there is a way for you to do it. There's a woman whose little girl was murdered and raped, or raped and murdered. Let's get it the right order. And she goes into the prison and stands and looks through the jail cell at the murderer and rapist that committed the act. And she forgives him. Why? Because God told her to. God said, you must forgive. She's just being an obedient daughter. Every time she forgives, she's sowing to the Spirit. She's sowing to the Holy Spirit and her own spirit, the spiritual realm of God. And she's going to reap greater benefits every time she forgives. But every time she holds bitterness in her heart,
That grows
like a tree. Bitterness grows like a tree. So we need to watch bitterness. I mean, watch out for it.
So some scriptures here. Matthew 6, verse 14. If you can't get there fast enough, that's okay, because hardly anyone has a Bible right now. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
See, it isn't that he's trying to be mean or ornery. It's kind of like when your forgiveness falls, then God's forgiveness is going to fall. You know what that is? That's sowing and reaping. God says, don't be mocked. As a man sows, that will he also reap. God is not mocked. As a man sows, that will he also reap. So when the Bible tells, you know, when God gives a command, it's not a suggestion. We didn't get the 10 suggestions. God is a absolute God. I mean, in many cases, he's very black and white. It's like, do this and live, or do this and die. That's the way God is. But then, he was good enough to give us Christ, to give us the power to be able to do what he tells us to do. So, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Sowing and reaping. I'm going to turn now to Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. There are some theologians that believe Jesus was saying 70 to the seventh power, which is a big number. But even if it only means 70 times seven, that's 490 times, isn't it? 490? 490. So, Peter's asking Jesus this question. He thought he's going to be really noble and great to suggest seven times. And Jesus say, no, how about 70 times seven? 490 times. How many times have you gone to God and asked for forgiveness for the same sin? I mean, have you topped 490 yet? Probably some of us have. You know, how about 1,800 times? And you know, so God is the guy that has to forgive over and over and over and over. And you know what? The Bible says we're made in His image. So that's we have to forgive over and over and over. And if it's the 25th time in one day that the same guy has sinned against you, Jesus is saying, forgive him again. Or, here's a better thing. Set your heart to forgive him before he even sins against you. Just set your heart to be a forgiver. Or, don't be so thin-skinned on your feelings towards getting offended. I heard a man of God say once that we need to be thick-skinned towards getting offended, but real thick skin when persecution comes for Christ. In other words, you can't hurt my feelings when I am when someone's trying to do me in or call me names or make me mad, but you can't hurt my feelings for the gospel either. You know, then we're to be thin-skinned towards people's needs. We're to be sensitive people towards their wants and needs and towards their hearts, and we're to be tender and thin-skinned and notice when someone needs encouragement or something. So it's a special man of God to be this way, you know, but you, every one of you can do this. I'm going to go now to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. This was the Apostle Paul here, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So even as Christ has forgave you, so you also must do. You've been forgiven for all your past when you received Christ. And then after that, you come back daily and you ask for forgiveness of the small things that you do on a daily basis that you know are sins. And He always forgives you. And therefore, that puts you under an obligation to need to forgive everybody else the same way. But I'm telling you that you don't have to forgive. Do you think that woman that forgave the murderer and the rapist forgives in her own power? That's done in the power of God, in the anointing of Christ, in the Holy Spirit. That forgiveness is done in the Holy Spirit. You're not alone when you have to walk out your Christian life. The Bible says we are co-laborers with Him. That means
that go along back with that one of the coins where people worked 10 hours and they only got like one coin, and people came in the last hour and they got 10 coins.
Probably. Yeah. Well, we are co-laborers with Christ. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit in us makes us overcome, makes us win, makes us have the abilities of God. The Holy Spirit in us. Who's the senior partner? He is. Who's the big... If we're co-laborers, there's got to be a boss and an employee. The Holy Spirit is the boss. I'm the employee. And He will talk to you every day, the Holy Spirit. It may not be the way your ears hear, but it will be in here. You will hear something from God. And He'll give you direction. He'll tell you what to do. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Jesus is wearing a yoke, He says. You know what a yoke is? It's what you put on two oxen that yokes them together to pull evenly. And they used to always put a small one with the big one. You know? And so one is pulling harder than the smaller one. Jesus is the big oxen. We're the small one. And His yoke is easy because if the yoke is heavy at all, He is carrying it. We're just kind of fitting in there, getting taken along for the ride. And that's how easy being a son of God is. It's easy when you float along on the Word of God. The Word of God can do anything for you. There's thousands of promises in the Word, and they're all for us. And the Bible says that every promise of God is yes and amen. You know, God loves it when you find His promises, when you mine them out like gold and silver out of the Bible and say, "That's for me, that's mine." And then his answer is, "Yes, it is, and amen. Yes, you can have the promise you have found. And you brought my own word to me." There's nothing more flattering and complimenting to God than to find a truth in His Word, take it to Him in prayer, and say, I want that to be me. I want to do there what I saw in the Word, and will you help me do it? And you just warm His heart when you do that. And He says, yes, I will, and amen. And then it's easy because He's doing it. See, if you live closer with Him, in touch with God on a daily basis, you can be in touch with God on a daily basis. A lot of people, when they're sinning, they go about 6 months before coming back in touch with God again. See? But God says, no, I want to be in touch daily. And if you stay in touch with God daily, you know, there's a lot of reasons I stay in touch with God daily. You know, I don't get sick. I don't get sick. It's a strange thing. It's not strange. It's normal. This is a health insulator right here in the Bible. Sickness and sin are pretty much in the same category. Did you know that? They both came on fallen man when Adam sinned. Death, disease, destruction, sin, they are all from Satan. All of them. And I don't get sick. But you know what? If I get out of touch with God, I can get sick. It's like there's an army out there and they're about 200 yards away in the spirit. You can't see them, but they're out there. And they want me. You know? And there's a scripture in Isaiah 54 that says, I will establish you in righteousness and oppression will be far from you. And that's where the oppression is. I can almost see it right now. It's there. You just can't see it. It's invisible. So let's say that you get sober and then you stay that way and then you're experiencing dry times. And let's say it's been several months. I'm telling you, that army from Satan is out there and it's ready to pounce. It's ready to rush at you. And you can pretty much see it getting closer and closer the more you get out of God's fellowship. And you know, just with a word, you can drive that back. But you have to be in touch with God. You can't use God's weapons and tools and be out of touch with God. You can't be a phony. You cannot preach one thing and do another secretly. You cannot act like a Christian to everybody and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then never talk to God and be in touch with Him. I'm telling you, God is a big reciprocator. Does everyone know what that word means? Reciprocal. Yeah. It's from math. It's like flipping things over, right? In math, the fractions, reciprocals. Well, God, when you go to Him and talk, He flows into you. When you read His Word or come to a Bible study like this, He flows into you. He reciprocates. And so all you got to do is learn the knack of having that every day and having Him flow into you every day. And now you've got that thing going on, which is the grace of God, the love of God. And now it's like you're living in this where Jesus says, come unto me, you that are heavy laden, and my burden is easy and light. I've used this word effortlessly a lot in here. My burden, your burdens should be effortless with God's help. I heard someone say that God and one man is a majority on the earth. God and one man. I mean, there was a prophet that used to call fire down on people. These soldiers, a whole company of soldiers came to arrest him. And he called, this is Elijah, he called fire down on them and incinerated them. They were toast. And then you have Moses lifts out his rod You know, most people don't believe me when I say this, but it says in the Bible that Moses parted that sea. People have to go read it.
I don't believe that.
But Moses was whining to God because the sea was lapping against his feet in front of him. And here comes the Egyptians, you know, thousands of them on chariots. And they're mad. They got their weapons out and stuff. And here's the Israelites lining the banks of that sea. And they're all whining and griping at Moses. You know, now we're going to die here. And Moses goes to God, and this is what God says. And you can check me on this later. God says, why do you cry to me? Why are you crying to me? You stretch out your rod and you part it. That's what God said. See, God had already dealt with that issue. God had already given him the rod of power back on Mount Sinai and said, this is your rod of power. It's a shepherd's rod. And then he said, you will be like a god unto Pharaoh. Did you know that he said that? God said that? He said to Moses, you will be like a god unto Pharaoh. And Moses does these 10 plagues. Well, we all know that God did everything, right? But it goes back to the co-labored effort now. It goes back to God and man together. You know what? If Moses hadn't started each plague one at a time, God would have never done them. If Moses hadn't put out his rod, God would have never parted the sea. God literally needs us. God doesn't swoop into this earth just like because he's pure spirit. You know, God is pure spirit, except for Jesus. Jesus has a physical body. All right, but God is pure spirit. Therefore, he doesn't swoop into this earth and just do whatever he wants. He has to find a human vessel. Did you know that even Jesus was brought forth in Bethlehem? At Christmas time? No, it wasn't Christmas until after he was born, right? Yeah, I wonder what I'm going to give my children for Christmas. I'll give them Christ.
He got punished for doing an unfaithful act of faith.
Yeah, he did.
He doubted God, so he got punished. And that's
from the land of promise, yeah.
So we can still punish him, but he
doubted. Yeah. Well, his crime was more serious than lack of faith.
Aren't we guilty of that?
Well, what Moses did when he got rebuked by God was God told him to smite a rock to make water come out with his staff, which he did. But the second time God said, don't smite it this time, speak to it. And Moses wouldn't do it. Moses says, no, I'm going to smite it. And he smote it. Well, water came out. But God said, wait a minute. You didn't do it my way. You actually got smart, Alec. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but when I paraphrase, you'll understand what God meant here. God said, you haven't sanctified me in front of the people. That's what he said exactly. That's the old King James English. But what I believe he said was, you got smart, Alec, about doing it in your way and having the abilities instead of letting the children of Israel all see that I always do it. And because you didn't glorify me and you glorified yourself in the way you did it, now I'm not going to let you go into the land of promise. I don't think that was that big a punishment. Moses was old. He was ready for heaven. You know, he came back when Jesus was on the earth with Elijah and stood there and talked. So I don't think he's on God's list or anything. You know, and he's God's friend, and God wants him close to him. That's why he took him to heaven. But anyway, when Moses parted that sea, That was God doing it through him. And we just need to learn that one man and God on the earth are majority. And that means the weakest Christian is more powerful, has the potential to be more powerful than the strongest demon. In fact, someone came to Jesus and was talking about his cousin, John the Baptist, how great he was. And Jesus said, "It's true that there has never been any man greater born of a woman than John the Baptist." He says, "But I say to you, he who is least in the kingdom of God will be greater than he." So up to that date, there was no one greater in Jesus' mind than John the Baptist. But those that would be born again in the new plan of God, which was coming after the death and resurrection of Christ, we would be greater than John the Baptist. And you know what men do today? Men pray, they turn the tides of wars. Men pray, they stop the weather. If you're not seeing this, I'm telling you, this is going on every day. Men and women pray, and they raise the dead. They open blind eyes. I was at a miracle thing in Reno in October, and I saw amazing miracles. It was wonderful. And this guy is up on this stage. His name is Todd Bentley. And this man comes up, and he had a stroke, and he had a paralyzed leg. So Todd prayed for him like that. And if you think when people fall down in meetings, they get pushed down, I got news for you. Todd was about 20 feet from the guy. And he went like that, and the guy fell down. And as the guy fell down, Todd said, "Whoa, did anyone see that?" And we're all going, "No, none of us saw anything." And a great shaft of light shot at Todd's head as he did that. But he's the only one that saw it. Now get this, this is where it gets interesting. About 20 minutes later, the electronic guy, the sound guy, the guy doing the video, he comes up to the front, he walks up to Todd, and he pushes a button, and he has a video. And 20 minutes before, the video recorded this shaft of light. And I saw it. I have it in my computer. And so, you know, there's much going on in the spiritual realm especially when meetings like that are going on. There's angels, there's devils, there's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that realm is more real and bigger than this realm. We're only a small template of the heavenly realm. Did you know that? The earth and man on the earth is only a small template. And there's many things here that we see that they have there, but they were there first. And they're better there. You know? And like in heaven you have, on earth you have fathers. In heaven you have a father. You know? There's just so many parallels. There, you know, Jesus comes back riding a horse. The Bible in Revelation says Jesus is going to be on a white horse. You know? Well, think about it. Horses here don't die and go to heaven. All right? So that means heaven already has horses and always had them and had them before we had them here. You see? And so I'm telling you that there's a very rich realm in the spirit. There's much going on. Early in my Christianity, God started showing me what was going on. Because I was always in the Word. I was always in prayer. I was always teaching and preaching. I was always praying for people and leading someone to the Lord. And God started showing me what's going on. And I was always amazed. Like, wow, whoa. And, you know, I could just sit in the dark in my house. I lived alone for a while because my wife and I split up, my first wife. And I lived alone, and I just sought the Lord all the time, and I'm sitting in my house in the dark, and I've got a little light, and I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm going, I sense it, I feel it, I see it sometimes. One time, a demon came in my room. They've never tried that since. That was in the 80s. And it was a big one. This really took place. This is real. And I said, Lord, where are you at times like this, Lord? Where are you? And he said to me, the name of Jesus. Because my heart was beating like this. My heart was pounding. I had fear. I felt like I could die. And later on, God told me that that being that came in my room is called a spirit of fear. It's called a spirit of fear. They're mentioned in the Bible. You can find in the Bible, there's a demon called a spirit of fear in the Bible. But anyway, so he was there to like stop my heart and kill me, you know. And I just said, in the name of Jesus. And when I did that, he disappeared before I could even tell him to get. Just disappeared. And that's never happened to me since. Happened one time. That doesn't mean that evil doesn't try to get near. You know? The first day I worked here, I was sitting behind that counter, and a guy walked up, and he got as far as that counter width is with me, and all of a sudden he fell out and started having a seizure. Right there on the spot. And I'm going, whoa. And I'd been praying before I came in. And you might think, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. But I do know this. Whenever Jesus started preaching and doing ministry, people started having seizures. Because there was a presence of God coming off of Jesus, and there was a presence in the person that was evil, and it would try to manifest and take him over stronger, but it would reveal the evil there, and then Jesus would make the evil flee by telling it to leave. Does everybody get what I'm trying to say? The existence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of evil cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. So your heart's cry should be, Lord, I've got to have more of you. I've got to have more of you. You can have more of God every day. You can grow in how much of God you can contain. Once you receive Christ, God's already in this container inside of you called your human spirit. But God wants to come into your mind and fill your mind. And the way you do that is to learn the Word. And then God wants to come in and He wants to fill your body. You can fill your spirit and your mind and your body every day. There's this woman in the New Testament, and she had an issue of blood. Does everyone know what that is? Like menstruation, but nonstop till she's so weak, you know, she's so low on blood, you know. And she'd had it 14 years, and she was dying. And she had spent all her fortune, it says, on doctors, and nothing worked. Yes, she says, if she gets caught out there creeping along on the ground or whatever way she got around, they can stone her because that was the way the law was. And she, that's the way those Israelites were. That was the law of Moses. You could stone someone for being in that condition out in public. And she said, I've got to find him, and if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Yep, her faith. So she crawled along, and she saw him going by, and she reached out, she grabbed his garment. And he stopped. And there was a great crowd of people crowding him in. And he stopped and he said, who touched me? Boy, see, you're a future preacher. I know it. Don't wait too long, okay? I told him that 2 years ago. I spoke that over you 2 years ago. So anyway, Jesus said, all these people had been touching him. And Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, Master, everybody's touched you. How do you know someone touched you, one particular person? Jesus says, because I felt something go out of me. I felt virtue flow out of me. So I'm telling you that God's presence can even go on your clothes. You don't believe that? The first 3 months I worked here, I came in here in the middle of the night every night, and I would lay hands on every chair here. I'd go to every chair. My co-workers were in there. They didn't care what I was doing. It was dark in here. And I just go, I release the substance of the Holy Spirit into this chair, to flow in this chair, to be residue in this chair. So when the first guy that sits in it, he's going to get a dose of the Spirit of God. And you know, you may think that I'm like a dreamer or something, but I'm telling you, the Word backs me up. There's this prophet, Elisha, and he died, and his bones were laying in this big open grave, just his bones. He must have been dead a long time. It was just his bones. This other guy died, and they threw him in that pit, and this dead man hit the bones of Elijah. And the moment he hit the bones of Elisha, he came alive. He resurrected. Another time, a little kid died of sunstroke. And this little kid was special because Elijah had promised him to his mother. She couldn't get pregnant. And Elijah said, I speak a child in you. And 9 months later, of course, with the help of her husband, she gave birth to this child. Then he dies of sunstroke. And she comes running to Elijah, and you'd think she'd be all distraught, saying, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. You know what? She doesn't want to step out of faith. So Elijah says, what's wrong? She says, all is well with my child. You can go read it. But he can tell behind the words, she's very upset. So he says, get the child. Okay, bring the child. He reads the situation. He says, bring the child in. Take him up to my bed chambers. They laid the child out dead. He sent everybody away. He walks in there. And now everybody's going to think this is kind of like kinky or something. But, you know, this is what God had him do. He laid his body on top of the child. And he touched with as much of his body as possible, he touched the child's body. And life came in the child. And you know what? John the Baptist was the greatest of every man born of a woman until the new birth started happening on earth through the Holy Spirit. And now that we're getting the new birth, did you know what the Bible says? We live in a new and better covenant than Elijah did, or Moses did, or Abraham did. Yeah, we are sons of God. And you know what? Alcohol and drugs we're way too good for that lifestyle. We absolutely are. We are sons of God. We are greater than the people of the Old Testament. When we lay our body on a dead child, we should be able to raise them up. If you believe it. If you accept your inheritance. And if you unveil through study and through prayer and through divine revelation what is inside of you. What have you been given? Your garment that is on your body should have divine energy flowing in it. Why? Because it's touching you. And why is it in you? Because God is in your spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's the God that created the universe. It says, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now able to quicken, to make alive your mortal bodies. doesn't mean we never die on this. Well, no, we age and we die. God has said that's going to happen to everybody, so it happens because God said it. But as you're aging, and you know, kind of like when you're young, you start to decay. Did you know that? That's what aging is. It's decaying. But in the meantime, and things go wrong. Like, I hang around people that pray for healing a lot, okay? And one of the unbelievers' biggest things is, hey, if that man's healing people up front there, why is he wearing glasses? It's like, I feel like going, shut up, Satan. It's like, you know, I can preach sinlessness and still be a sinner, right? Because I'm not preaching my doctrine, I'm preaching God's doctrine. Okay? I can have a physical issue in my body and still preach healing, because I'm not given healing from myself. I'm giving it from the cross where perfection is.
Jesus even said, if a bad man gives you good advice, take the good advice and leave a bad person. Because the Christians were complaining about the Roman authorities that were finding fault, you know, petty faults, like, you know, a speeding ticket, when these same officials had blood crimes on their hands.
Yeah.
So, and Jesus was saying, well, if this intelligent official that's committed all these sins puts his attention on you and he gives you good advice, take the advice, but leave the person.
Right. You see, even me, as I teach, I'm not saying everything I say is exactly right. Okay? But are you going to throw out my whole message because I get one thing wrong?
Yeah.
I had a pastor once that said we should eat the meat, spit out the bones. You know? It's up to each person to determine if I'm preaching the Word or if I'm making up stuff on my own. You know? I'm going to give you one more, maybe two more, and that's it. But you know what? I have a whole list. I have a whole list of scriptures. Maybe we'll have to do this subject again. Isaiah, see, now I don't often go back in the Old Testament, but now I'm going to go back there. Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, like your old sin. You know? Or like people that have wronged you. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? You know, you can take that scripture for yourself right now as a prophecy into your heart right now. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? I'll read it again. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, God's doing some new things in each of us. He's got a new thing for us. In fact, you've never been more than you are right now in God. We got some information in here tonight. You've never known more. You've never been further along. You've never been older than you are now. You've never been more mature than you are now. But it's time today to say, this is the day that I am going to start walking in this stuff. Now, I'm going to be back here hopefully Wednesday night. If not Wednesday, I'll be back Thursday night. And we'll go at this. We'll teach again, you know. Because it's like my soul follows hard after God. David wrote that. My soul follows hard after God. David of the Bible wrote that. The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger, for they shall be filled. Jesus said that. Blessed are they which hunger, for they shall be filled. You know what? I believe in a supernatural Christianity. I believe in Christianity as a supernatural thing. I believe in God is in me. I believe that I have the power to do miracles. Oh, I can't do them at my own will every moment. But under the right circumstances, under the right timing of God, anything's possible. You know, I went to Disneyland a week ago, and My wife and I were driving down, and we were behind schedule because we were supposed to leave early in the morning. We got out of our house too late. That's a long drive on Highway 5. 5 is miserable. It's just drab, and, you know, there's just hills and rolling hills. You know what? We asked God to move us faster down the freeway by a supernatural push. I can't say He did it, but at least He knows that I feel I'm son enough to ask Him. We asked for a couple hours cut off our time. He did this all through the Bible. He moved people along. I came in here last year and I showed some guys a clip of two men that it happened to on the freeway. There's a bright... You saw it, didn't you? Remember, there's a bright flash out of the side window here of the driver, like an angel or something. And then they looked up and there was their exit sign. And they were still like an hour from that exit sign. Yeah, before it happened. Yeah. And, you know, that's just a... To me, Christianity without the supernatural is just a club. And a club, it's like the VFW hall, you know? It's just some people gathering to throw around stories. Christianity, Jesus intended that Christians would walk in every bit of the supernatural realm that He walked in. And to me, Christians that don't believe in the supernatural, what are they believing in? I mean, it's like they go, oh, yes, but we've got our salvation. But I mean, it's like, okay, you've gone that far. That's pretty supernatural too. That you would change in your heart and now you're bound for heaven. That's all miraculous too, right? Well, it's just a little bit further you have to go to make the stretch we have a miracle God. We're living on an earth where you can see miracles. We don't chase miracles. We don't chase just trying to see miracles. Those are the gifts of the giver. Miracles are the gifts of the giver. And when you're a little kid, you weren't supposed to just rake the gifts out of your parents' hands on your birthday. You're supposed to crawl up on their laps and give them a big kiss. You know what I mean? They were the givers. The gifts represented their hearts. Right? When God has gifts for you, when you want something from God, it's like those are just byproducts of us loving the giver of His heart. And He likes it when we crawl up on His lap, give Him a hug. And you can do that in your prayer time. All right, let's pray. In fact, I'm just going to have you repeat a few sentences after me, all of you guys. Dear Lord, thank You for Your Word. It's alive in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there. Show us Your ways. Show us Your miracles. Show us You. Show us Your heart. We live for You. Forgive us of all sin. Bring us into a higher walk tonight, now, in Jesus' name. Amen.